Well, it's been a hot minute since we have recorded a podcast. It may not look that way to you, but for us, we did a lot of development earlier or later in the year for the first part of this year. Mm-hmm. So this is the first time we're back since probably about Thanksgiving, that kind of thing?
We did a few before Christmas. It's probably before the holidays.
Oh, okay. Right on. Christmas feels like 6 months ago.
Yeah, I can't believe we're only, what, 3/4 of the way through January at this point? I don't believe that.
It is crazy. Well, welcome to the podcast. If you have not seen this before, I am TJ.
I'm Joshua.
And we are Uncommon. And guess what? So are you. This is the Uncommon Podcast. We do this twice a month, thereabouts, focusing on topics around husbands, dads, and leaders. And this week, we're focusing on danger, close.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Danger, close. We just may not know it. When I was developing this here, I mean, you live long enough, you're going to have some near-death experiences.
Sure.
It's just nature. How stupid I am. I'm a guy taking unnecessary risks. When I think back on certain things, I'm like, why did I do that?
Well, I always love it because whenever you have a near-death experience, you always have that like brief moment of like, oh, no. I was this close to hurting myself.
Oh, yeah.
And then everything becomes like hyper-vigilant for about a day. And then you're like, I'm going to go balance on that chair outside in the snow to take down the Christmas lights I should have taken down like 2 weeks ago.
Right, right.
So it only lasts about a little bit. But there's that like moment of clarity like, the world is beautiful and I love it. Oh, my goodness. I could have died today.
Well, many times it's stupid things, mm-hmm. right? Obviously. But I did a search. I asked my old buddies over at the old chat planetarium to give me some stats on maybe some unintended deaths, right? Oh, and so this is from 2022.
Okay.
There were 227,039 unintentional injuries that led to death just in the United States.
That's a little disturbing.
It is the third leading cause of death, and it equals about 68 deaths per 1,000 people.
Oh, it's disturbing.
Yeah, right. So when I was looking at some of the ones here, obviously this list is not exhaustive. It was kind of the top ones. Poisoning was like one of the top ones it listed.
I mean, first thought was that's crazy, but the second part is like, food poisoning, if it gets too severe, maybe start like can't retain anything down. Someone puts the wrong thing. Have you seen recipe comments? I've seen recipe comments where someone tried adding cheese to a brownie recipe. So I'm sure someone's stupid enough to put bleach in something and eat it.
Well, it wasn't that long ago people were trying to eat Tide Pods or something like that.
That's why they're behind glass now.
Right. So when I first thought that, I'm like, well, I know Socrates probably said, I drank what? But other than that, I kind of felt like poisoning was like quicksand. As a kid, I may have been like, wow, this is poisonous.
It's going to be a big problem. All these bottles with crosses or bones and skulls on it kind of thing. Right.
And so I'm like, I haven't seen quicksand, and I don't know if anybody's gotten poisoned. But yeah, food poisoning, obviously, if you're going to be stupid, you're definitely going to find something that probably kill you.
Yeah.
Now, there's like, you know, mushrooms or berries that, you know, you might eat that mm-hmm. definitely poisonous. Falls.
Yeah.
Right? You ever see guys on videos trying to, like, hang a light fixture while standing on a friend's shoulders, while standing on another friend's shoulders?
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Motor vehicles. Mm. Obviously, if you've ever been on any kind of interstate, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Why is that not number one? I have no idea. But then these are unintended deaths.
Yeah.
Drowning. Unintended.
Horseplay. Kids in the pool, maybe. You know?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Struck by things. Lightning, a vehicle. The new lineup of network television. I don't know. I mean, just like, oh my goodness, it's struck by something. And then the last one was choking.
Goodness. I thought choking would be a lot higher, honestly.
Right. So these are examples of a physical death. Mm-hmm. We're kind of talking about a spiritual death. A
little bait switch.
A little bait switch there. Sometimes we're closer to spiritual danger than we realize due to decisions that we make. That mm-hmm. are probably no different than some of the things on that list in the sense of you made a decision to do something, the consequence was a physical death. Sometimes we do things that causes a bit of a spiritual death. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 14:12.
There is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends is the way to death.
That always kind of shook me. I'm like, okay, well, I feel like I'm somewhat of a rational person that mm-hmm. that seems correct.
Right.
My brain says, well, why isn't that correct, right? Mm-hmm. If I feel like go this way, that seems right, you know? But it might not be right to me. It'd be very wrong about God.
Yeah.
So we're focusing on a couple different, I don't say, men in the Bible. Sometimes they're punching bags of the Bible. David, you know, right? David, poor David. I don't think he realized that him looking at Bathsheba on that roof was going to ripple through the eons of goodness.
They're talking about me again, Lord.
They're talking about me again. Wouldn't every guy look at her? Come on. It went further than that. So our scripture focus here was 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 4. And in summarizing that is, in the spring, at the time when kings would go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men, but David remained in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Big problem.
Yep.
Right. Wasn't where he was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. How many times do you find you put yourself, I put myself, in a place where I should not be, and then I sin? Mm-hmm. Right. And this is a spiritual death. This is a, you know, a sinning against God, sinning against grieving the Holy Spirit kind of thing. And so you can just think of your life in the last, say, 12 months. Have you put yourself in a place, in a physical place? Mm-hmm. We'll use physical place since this has come up, David being in a physical place that you found yourself like, man, that kind of leads me to do things, think things, see things around people that help me, you know, not help me, but expose me to thoughts mm-hmm. or speech, yep. right? Viewpoints or whatever. This is all danger in that.
Yeah. I mean, even the idea of like, it could be a situation where you're putting yourself in an environment of other people who are bad influence, right? Mm-hmm. Or exposing you to things you shouldn't be. Or it could be the opposite, where you isolate yourself so you can do things mm-hmm. without watching eyes, right?
Yes.
Some people need that accountability of like, you squirrel away, you left with your phone too long.
Sure.
You know, where does your sinful nature take you there?
Right, right.
And so, you know, because, I mean, in this example, David stayed back. He sent everybody kind of forward. He was left alone. You see what happened, exactly what happened when he was left alone mm-hmm. With no one there to keep him on track.
I'm sure there were people on that rooftop with him, servants, mm-hmm. this and that kind of thing, but they don't mention him.
Yeah.
The story just focuses on David and his private moment of watching Bathsheba on the other rooftop. And this is probably not like, you know, 100 yards away. This is probably, you know, maybe less than 100 feet from his rooftop.
I mean, if he was able to see enough to invite her over, it probably was close enough he could see detail, right? So, you know, not like blurbs in the distance.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, in some of this stuff, it can hit you like a train because you don't know it, right? Like some people don't know that your predisposition is to, you know, have little, these dark moments alone or in grouping. Sure. Through college, I had this guy that I didn't know at the time was a very bad influence later on in the relationship as a friendship. As in the beginning, we found friendship in each other through a Christian group. And we kind of built that friendship up. And then we got to the point where he was making some very dangerous decisions and affecting him, infecting me and my girlfriend at the time, wife now, that I had to step away from because I knew expose myself to him in those moments, exposing me to ideas, language, you know.
Drinking.
Yeah, anything that he was doing was that whether I wanted it to or not was affecting me in some capacity, sure. Right? You know, you can be like, hey, I want to minister to those around me, and that's an entirely different conversation. But right. having being stealing your will before that is one thing. Being exposed to it in, like, you know, more casual settings, that can be the danger, because then you're not as, like, focused on spreading the gospel in those moments. You're like, right. hey, I'm just hanging out with a friend, and he's dropping the F-bomb behind me.
Yeah.
And then that seeps into your consciousness, and you're like, man, I'm thinking that word now. Did I say that right sure. there? That kind of thing. And it only takes a couple times before you realize that line in the sand that you drew for yourself, you know, in the very beginning, you're well past it now.
Ironically, mom, of all people, mom does not curse, right? And so she worked at a place back in New Orleans, and it was mostly women. And the F-bomb was dropped constantly. You would think this is like more like a guy thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just constant. Wow. So much so that she would come home and she's like, I just hear this word in my head when I'm talking, and I got to make sure I don't say it kind of thing. This is, you know, the danger of complacency is the next section here. And David's choice to stay behind, seemingly harmless, set the stage for his moral downfall.
All right.
And you can see that when we make some harmless decision to do something, it can lead to, it sets the stage for some dicey situations for ourselves from a spiritual standpoint.
Yeah.
And, you know, while we're over here punching on David, hey, Bathsheba, I understand you are taking a bath. Put a screen up. Put some clothes on. You start parading out there, top of the rooftop, taking your bath. Well, you see girls dress provocatively. They want to be seen, right? I never hear anybody, like, scolding Bathsheba.
Sure. I mean, this was in a time frame. I mean, king summons you. Probably you got to go to the king, right? Like, the king has all the power. And during this time frame when all of the men went to war, so there was not supposed to be anyone kind of back at the kingdom.
Sure.
So, you know, she probably thought, oh, there's no one here to kind of worry about, so I'll, you know, do my thing. But this does bring up the good thing of, does take two to tango, right?
Bingo.
So, you know, the best scenarios or best situation that you can put yourself in is one where you're not in that at all.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. I get that the latter half of that story may have been a little out of her control. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, this is the king. He's got power over everything. You know? That strutting on the rooftop may have been a little bit on you kind of thing. So the danger of complacency, right? The next thing is the consequences. Immediate impact, right? Adultery, deception, murder. You can see that from that one look, it just escalated quickly for David to try to cover that up.
Yep.
The long-term impact, family turmoil, loss of a child, a damaged relationship with God.
Yep.
You know, these are things that we kind of do to ourselves. I mean, look at our verse there, Galatians 6, 7 through 8.
Do not be deceived. God is not mocking, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap. Mm. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life.
So remember, if you've ever watched Scrubs, you and I love Scrubs. Remember that episode of he wished he had a guy that would show up and tell him he's ready to make a mistake?
Yes.
Of course, in that sequence, that guy is an opera singer, and he's singing the word mistake, right? We have that. Ours is just the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It's not singing opera to us, but it is counseling us to do or not do, right, certain things. So we can't say, well, I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
David knew. David knew. That's why he tried to cover it up.
Yeah.
We know. We all know we're doing these things. And so when there is danger close, I think we need to kind of take a moment, pray the Holy Spirit to intercede in that moment so that we can stop that possible consequence. Because you can see that it was catastrophic for David.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he thought that staying back, I mean, we don't know why he stayed back. Maybe he was just like, I'm tired. I don't want to go to war this time. You know, I fought really hard the last week. I'm taking this week off kind of thing. I mean, I'm sure he didn't think that would cascade to that. Now, as soon as he looked at Bathsheba, another man's wife, and lusted, that was when the moment started, right?
Right.
And I'm, you know, David knew immediately that he was doing something wrong. And if you are, you know, reading God's word, you are surrounding yourself with other believers and not tuning the Holy Spirit out. Because as long as that is a repertoire, you know, like the Holy Spirit is very, very consistent with, hey, listen, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be hanging around with people. You shouldn't be saying that. You shouldn't be thinking that.
Right.
And so it's less about, oh man, I should feel immediate shame. It's okay. That's the warning bells. We need to back off.
Sure.
Hearing that as like a guiding force of, I'm going too close to the edge. I need to back off kind of thing. Cause I know plenty of people that you get jaded in that of like, I'll listen to that later kind of thing. Sure. And then they just careen off the side.
I can listen to that music and tune out those lyrics.
Right.
I saw a comedian. He's like, it's really odd that they chose to have a problem with Baby It's Cold Outside a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And then he wanted to read the lyrics to it.
Yeah.
And then he read the lyrics to whatever flavor of the month, WAP, and compare the two. And
he says, yeah,
this is really the song that we are focusing on.
Hung up on, yeah.
That is, it's bad, sends a message, but this one doesn't.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a cultural thing as well. Maybe David was like, I've been fighting people since I became king. I'm taking a little time out for myself. Although that didn't work out very well.
Right.
So before we move on to the next section, be sure to check out uncommon.org. We have a ton of resources that would pertain to this. Mm-hmm. There's one called Man Eyes, and it's about this right here.
Yep.
What's catching your eyes as a man? You might be sitting at a table with your wife, and out of the blue, your head spins in a way that nothing triggered it. It's just all of a sudden that there's a woman walking in with a tight dress on, whatever. You're like, do I have spidey senses? How did I know to look over there? Mm-hmm. Right. So that's a great devotion. It's called Man Eyes. Check it out on uncommon.org. In the meantime, stay tuned for listening to some of our sponsors of this podcast. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Studio 490 Digital Marketing. Elevate your business with Studio 490. Our expert team offers tailored web design, SEO, Google Ads, and social media management. Visit studio490.com because your success story starts today. All right, welcome back to our next segment. Joshua, what is it?
So our first favorite punching bag, we talked about David and his looky-loo going on. and so this segment we're talking about our other favorite punching bag, Samson.
Samson,
his long Fabio hair in the wind.
Show off with your hair.
So the focus scripture for this section is Judges 16, verses 20. A little snapshot of it. Obviously, his story is much longer than that. But in this verse, it talks about, but he did not know that the Lord had left him.
What a sobering statement.
So this was during the time frame where he had gone against his oath. And the woman had cut his hair, right? He assumed he had strength still, and he did not know the Lord had left him.
Old Delilah.
Many songs about her.
Notice our first segment and second segment was around women causing trouble.
The first section we were talking about complacency. In this section, we're talking about compromise and the dangers that even small compromises can make. Because you can see in Samson's story, every time he went and saw the woman, she was like, oh, tell me what your secret strength is. And he made compromises. In the beginning, he was lying about it. But sure. Obviously, even entertaining that thought and entertaining that woman was a bad idea. And every time he compromised that value, got closer and closer to his downfall.
Right.
And so you can see how quickly a compromise can take this man who's this powerhouse of a character, you know, ripping lions apart, fighting off men with these jawbones,
right,
and just be reduced to this blind man strapped to a column, you know? Yeah. And so it's sobering to hear that and think, oh, well, I didn't start off super strong, so what am I going to go to
right.
if I make these compromises?
Sure.
And again, this kind of goes back to what we said in the first part of, you start making compromises, that line in that sand, you're going to look back and it's going to be a mile down the road and you're going to be like, well, I would never have been okay with this,
right,
you know, 2 months ago. But now that I've made compromises in my faith, the people I spend time with, where I put my attention to, now I'm okay with X, Y, and Z, fill in the blank, you know. And sometimes it takes somebody else to point that out in our lives.
Sure.
Be like, hey, you know what, you're drinking really hard these days, or, you know, you're cursing a lot more, or
right,
I haven't seen you at church in a long time, man. Everything okay? That sure. kind of stuff. And so sometimes we talk about the importance of accountability partners and just the role they play in our lives. 'Cause sometimes we are too close to the problem to even see it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I'm going to say, men, we all have a Delilah in our lives. Pardon me. Whether it's work, play, family, whatever it is, there's a Delilah. And so, you know, obviously, the Bible's always written for us, not to us, right? Mm-hmm. And so you would think, just like we kind of always talk about the Israelites, Samson. It was pretty obvious that Delilah's fishing around trying to do things. Oh, if you massage my shoulders, you'd be able to overpower me and kill me.
Right.
There she goes to massaging.
Yeah.
Like, what are you trying? Are you trying to kill me?
Yeah.
No. So what's your real weakness?
Right.
I'd be using it to my advantage probably. Well, you know, if you cut my grass, I'm not feeling, you know, wash my car.
I'm allergic to $20 bills.
Pay my taxes, all that kind of stuff. But it was odd that just kept overlooking that, either intentionally or unintentionally. It seemed he was very open to overlook that.
Yeah, I mean, I think I can see him being so confident in his strength and everything that he's like, well, it doesn't matter if I tell you my weakness.
Right.
I can, the Lord's with me, I'm good.
Right.
I've done all these other things that were not okay, of, you know, touching the dead carcass, you know, laying with someone of another country, like all these things he's done, and all of a sudden he's like, well, what does it matter? I'm untouchable. And then that immediately went to his head.
Right.
And then you can see where that got him.
To the point of, why would you tell her? It's like you knew. It wasn't like you didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, well, I don't know. Is it my toenails? I don't know. You knew it was the length of your hair, right? Mm-hmm. To tell her that eventually. You know, if you ever read God's word and you're like, you know the story and you read it again, you're like, no, don't do that. Why are you doing that? You know, just kind of commentating as you're going along. So, yeah, consequences. Sometimes we may think the consequences are not as bad or they're worth that sin. And we're like, you know, when this is all over, I'll repent and use my get out of jail card free kind of pass, and I'll get right.
Yeah,
you know, and you could see that there were some consequences that cost both David and Samson.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Samson probably did some kind of calculation of, this is worth me being with her,
right?
And the danger this presents to, you know, my life, my strength, my connection with the Lord, kind of thing. And so you can see that we are really good at rationalizing everything of like, well, this is an acceptable amount of danger for this.
Right.
I'm not hurting anybody else. This is just me. I'm not like doing anything. And the next thing you know, you're blinded, strengthless, and strapped to a column. I think you might rethink the consequences a little bit. I mean,
right.
I don't think Samson thought, I'm going to die by this woman's hand if I tell her this today. I don't know how you wouldn't know that, because every time he told her something, dude showed up with that. Like,
right.
I don't know. It just seems real stupid, but, you know.
So these stories we have, either we don't take them to heart. We don't think they're about us. They're just like cautionary tales that, yeah, that's okay. That's good platitude kind of thing. I'll try to, you know, I'd have never done that, but whatever. We do exactly that. And we have examples and stories and consequences and encouragement, all these things throughout the, the story of the Bible that are signposts and warnings for us to do and not do. And we still fall into that category. And so that's why it's, you know, you look at David and Jonah and Samson and Moses and the Israelites and on, the list goes on and on. You're like, how could he do that? And, you know, every time you want to read that, be kind of a sober angle to it, is replace Samson with your own name and read that out loud. And that's how the story goes.
Yeah. I mean, I always look at, I look back on the Israelites, but the Israelites were saved from Egypt by God's hand. They had, you know, not him physically there, but like the column of fire and the smoke during the day to guide them. He was there every step of the way. And they still chose to disobey them.
Sure.
You know, how much more for me as a person in the 21st century who doesn't have that kind of stuff?
Sure.
I mean, yes, we have the Bible and it's in our fingertips and our phones, but, you know, to be there and fellowshipping with the Lord and still make that decision of, you know what, the whoops weren't that bad. And at least we had, you know, food back then, you know, like that kind of stuff of like,
oh, the days of Egypt.
Right. And so, you know, it's I use that as a joke, but I'm often reminded of like, well, if they were able, if they made that decision in those moments and they had more connection physically with the Lord, how much more so would I would do that?
So when you think of that kind of angle of, well, why do we do that? Are we being influenced? Are we being influenced by family, friends, work, social media, all these things that play a role in our lives? They are our Delilah, our Bathsheba. But ultimately, the decision is ours to make the right decision. And so the next time you're having a danger close moment, take that moment, pray the Holy Spirit gives you wisdom and strength to step away from that, because there is consequence on the other side of that moment.
Yeah.
And so visit our website at uncommon.org. There is a ton of content from originals. Our list is long, so if I forget something, let me know. Our originals, our membership, our good talks, Devo Pluses, Bible studies, ebooks, challenges. The list is long.
Yeah.
And there's something there that probably talks about this from a standpoint of pride, the consequences of sin, man eyes. I mean, there are things that we cover that touch on this topic exactly. So visit uncommon.org. Check out our all-access membership. There's a monthly option and an annual option. And we hope this is because struck a chord with someone, because someone is having a danger close moment.
Yeah.
So, Joshua, hit him with it.
If you're going to be something, be uncommon.